The BBC presents My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the team.
On my left, David Franklin and Frank Muir. On my right, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Round one. And I want, please, the title of the piece you hear and the composer, whose name this week begins with the letter D. D for David.
It would be very helpful if you tell us what letter his name begins with other weeks than this.
Well, like last week, C, and next week,
E. I know, but what you actually said was whose name this week begins with the letter D. One mark?
One day I shall... The letter D is for David Franklin, for disputatious, dogmatic, difficult, dunce.
And the deduction of one mark before we start.
D. And, David, will you please listen to this and tell me the name of the composer and the name of the piece?
I should need my tutu for this, shouldn't I?
Yes,
to brush up my arabesques and my pliés.
That's right.
This is ballet music.
Yep.
It's by Delibes.
Thank you, a mark.
Yes. And for the title of it, I'll give you a musical clue, because I like to be helpful. Who is Dara? What is...
Sydney.
Am I right?
You're right.
Sydney. It's called Dara.
You're right.
It's Sylvia.
Sylvia Ballet. The March and Cortege of Bacchus from Sylvia. David has two marks, and we move on to Dennis Norton.
Oh, that came from a film. That came from Fantasia. That was The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
By?
Duca.
Yes,
Vernon Duca.
No?
It's not Vernon Duca.
Vernon Duca, no. He wrote April in Paris. No, Powell Duca. Yes, I get in terrible trouble with the correspondent who ticks me off for saying Fantasia when I should say Fantasia.
Oh.
But never mind, we pay no heed to that, and you have two marks. And we have now a question for Ian Wallace. Ian.
Shades of Serge Lifa, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And I was very happy that a very kind lady in the audience confirmed my impression that this was the afternoon of a rather curious animal. L'après-midi d'une faune by Debussy.
Yes, you have two marks. L'après-midi d'une faune. And some music for Frank.
Oh, this is part of my soul. I was always Marker. Marker! The fate of one who's tall. Stand there, line up on you. Marker. Usually when the Catholics fall out, they go to a rather murky, smelly little room. And this is the Royal Air Force March Past.
And the composer whose name begins with D?
Sir Walford Davis.
Yes, Sir Walford Davis. There's two marks. Opera scenes and their settings. David, the scene is laid in an imaginary kingdom of Allemande in medieval times. Which opera for a mark? Allemande.
Germany.
Allemande. Allemande.
Allemande.
Yes, M-O-N-D-E.
In medieval times. Mm. I'll be quite honest and truthful with you. I haven't the faintest idea.
It's a tough one, this, but then you're an opera expert. there's a character in this who always makes me laugh because his name is Arkel, and he makes me think of the racehorse. Does that help you at all?
You have a wicked sense of humour. I've no idea still.
How is the manner
of... Oh, something to do with horses, the ride of the Valkyrie.
No.
I've no idea what it is,
Steve. It's a tough one, this, but the opera in which the scene is laid in the imaginary kingdom of Allemande in medieval times was Debussy's Pelléas et Mésandre.
Oh, well, I've never sung in that.
Well, there are operas that exist that you haven't sung in.
Yes, I know, but this is the point. If I haven't sung in them, I don't know them.
What a shocking admission.
Same with me.
I think that just about covers it, Frank.
I know for a fact that Dennis has never sung in this. Dennis, the scene is laid in Peking in legendary times.
Aladdin. I sang the chorus in this when the sheet came down. I was on the stage and I got a lolly for it.
You were 20.
Yeah. I was 28 at the time.
Peking?
Yes. Ian has transmitted something. I never know, because you change your pronunciation on this week by week, Steve. It's either Turandot or Turandot.
This week I'm saying Turandot. Right. Yes. And you're right. No, you got it from your mate, so that's all right. Yes, a mark for Turandot, Puccini's opera made in Peking in legendary times. Ian, the scene is set in the Borough. Which opera, and for the other half mark, where in real life is the Borough?
Aldborough,
that's right.
And it is the Peter Grimes.
Yes, the opera. That's right. Frank, the scene is laid in ancient Gaul at the time of the war with the Romans. Which opera?
Old Gaul, blimey, how ashamed I was. Sir, is it an Italian opera?
Yes.
Oh, right, yes it is. Norma. An opera called Norma. It's a damn silly name for an opera. Norma.
You're right, Norma. Yes.
Norma.
I'm staggered. Bellini's Norma. You're right, yes, all about druids and sacred groves and things, and you have a mark. Next round. Music often conveys a picture to the mind, a mood, a scene, or a story. See how near you can get to the composer's original intention as I ask simply for two marks, what does this evoke in your mind, David?
The movement of elephants.
Yes. Yes.
How embarrassing for you to talk about that thing.
Because, in fact...
I do wish, Frank, that you wouldn't keep on bringing my family into this program.
Yes, elephants, you think, because, in fact, you recognised it, did you?
Well, I guessed it was.
From the Carnival of the Animals.
Yes.
Saint-Saëns. You have two marks, David. Elephants was right. Dennis, what does this make you think of?
It's just a gramophone record sticking. Other than that, it made me think of a picnic. Somebody once defined an anteater as anybody who goes on an English picnic. I think a beekeeper as well is a good definition of anybody who goes on English. There were bees in there, and I was yes, holding a hard-boiled egg in one hand and swiping ineffectually with a cardboard plate in the
yes,
other.
You have two marks. We achieved that remarkable piece of tape by looping a little bit out of The Flight of the Bumblebee, Rimsky-Korsakov, making a loop about, 25 inches long or something. That's how it all happened. You have two marks.
If you've got nothing better to do with your time.
One of those useless occupations like dusting the spokes of your umbrella. Or weighing the cat.
Ian, your turn to answer a question. What does this make you think of?
Thank you.
The first few phrases made me think of going under an anaesthetic. But after that, it got more lively, and one felt some sort of contest or other, like a bullfight, or a chariot race.
Keep going.
Yes, you're not looking very encouraging, no, Steve, up to now. But a race of some kind? Or
you could call it that in a sort of way, yes. The audience knows, I can tell them.
Oh, yes, I'm sure they do.
Hear them saying it. You know, I thought Dennis might know.
But Rumble, isn't it West Side Story? Isn't it?
No.
It's a dance of some kind, then?
No, you could not call it a dance, I'm afraid. I really don't think I can give you anything here, except if you like half a mark for guessing what it sounded like to you. Which is,
Well, I wasn't guessing there, I was telling you.
Half a mark there. The audience knows that it was 633 Squadron, Ron Goodwin's theme music from the film, was therefore meant to depict an air battle, or at least its
Well, I did say a contest. Or a fight.
That's your half mark.
Yeah.
That's your half mark, out of two. Fair enough, I think. Frank, your turn.
It's the Canadian Pacific Railway, a level crossing, where brass bands try to cross. You get a rather interesting counterpoint between the whistle of the wood-burning locomotive and the brass of the brass band. That's what it is.
Yes. I can't really fault you on that.
Just outside Winnipeg.
Actually, it's Coronation Scots just outside Winnipeg, but you've certainly got the right train association there. Two marks. Glancing at the scoreboard, I see that so far, David and Frank are leading by half a mark. The old keyboard firm of Daly and Chin await the pleasure of your company now to sing song. Three marks if you can complete the song with your sing. David, your turn first, as ever.
Is that from the word to duck? C-I-E-I-O. With a quack quack here. Oh, really? And I will go through this to the bitter end. With a quack quack here and a quack quack there. Here a quack, there a quack, everywhere a quack quack. Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. Good evening, friend.
David, you have three marks and well-earned two. A song from Dennis Norden.
Dabbing it here, dabbing it there. Paint and powder everywhere.
Look.
Mum was stuck to the ceiling, the kids were stuck to the floor. You never saw such a blooming family so stuck up before. Or notes to that effect.
Three marks and Ian's turn.
One man and his dog went to mow a meadow. Frank Muir went to mow. Went to mow a meadow. Frank Muir and his dog went to mow a meadow. Dennis Norden went to mow, went to mow a meadow. Dennis Norden, Frank Muir and his dog went to mow a meadow.
And here's Frank's song.
Deep in the heart, you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I've tried so hard not to give in. I've said to myself, this romance never will go so well. Why should I rather than when, darling, I know so well I've got you under my skin.
Thank you.
I cannot add anything, come what may, for the wrong of having you near. Oh, in spite of this voice within, in the dark, in the repeat, and repeat in my ear, don't you know, say fool, you never can win. Yours your mentality. Wake up to reality.
I see you still got those hand records.
And the thought of you makes me stop, which I'm sure you all vaguely.
Two marks for starting and a third mark for stopping. Thank you, Frank. Total three. Odds and ends of musical information for two marks. David, what is the difference between an obard, a mattina, and an alborada?
An obard is a song of the dawn. What was the next one?
Mattina.
That's a morning song. Mm-hmm.
And an alborado. An alborada.
They're all three the same in different languages.
That's right. No difference at all. They're all morning songs. That's right.
I get through in the end. Bloodhound
well
Frank.
Well done, yes. French, Italian and Spanish words for morning song. Also, of course, the German Morgenlied. Opposite of an evening song or serenade, in fact. Two marks. Dennis, if Count Razumovsky, Count Waldstein and the Archduke Rudolf met in the Elysian Fields, who would they be most likely to talk about?
By golly, that's a baffler.
I have met some funny questions in my... Ian, would you know who... I mean, they would be likely to talk about anybody in the Elysian Fields. Did you know that Beethoven would never recognise Moonlight Sonata because he called it by a different name?
You have two marks.
Huh?
It's exactly the kind of thing they might say, because the friend they all had in common was Beethoven, and I do congratulate you, Dennis.
Well, all I can say is, thank goodness I kept my big mouth shut.
As Dennis was about to say, the Razumovsky Quartet, the Waldstein Sonata and the Archduke Trio were dedicated respectively to those three gentlemen. And you were absolutely right, Dennis, for
well
2 months.
Done. I was thinking they were characters in operetta.
Archduke Rudolph really sounds operetta-ish, doesn't he? Yes.
I have knowledge that I don't even know.
Some people are just overflowing with it, you know. You don't know your own strength, obviously. Ian, here's your turn to shine. What is a carivari?
A carivari?
Carivari. CHARIVARI. Question mark.
It's a collection of frivolous items.
Not quite good enough, because you're thinking of that front page of Punch.
Yes, I am. Charivari.
This, of course, is a music quiz, not my word.
I don't really think I know this one at all.
No. Well, musically, Charivari is a hubbub of music made deliberately discordant, played with kettles, tin cans, etc., perhaps outside the house of someone unpopular. Musical. Hubbub is what it means, a hubbub.
A hubbub.
Mm. Musical rhubarb.
Yes.
Well, I'm very glad to have found that out. Ask me again next week, the same question.
Well, there you are. Frank, would you like to join me in a brindisi? If so, what is it? And if not, why not?
Bad duck picking up my thumb. Something evil. It's a dance in Macbeth and also in, what is it?
Traviata.
Also in Traviata, when Traviata was feeling particularly ill.
Yes. I want to know, though, what it is. And dance is not... Dance. No, I can't accept that, I'm afraid.
It's a dance which comes from the Brindisi area from North Africa.
Now, I want to know the meaning of a Brindisi. A Brindisi is something or other.
Well, you're asking too much. A perfectly rational answer to your question.
Well, drinking song,
it's a drinking song.
No.
Yes, it is.
It's, you're getting near it. Well, I think I must give you one out of two. Yes.
I have a newt and whatnot, you know.
If I say, here's to Frank on his 100th birthday, then I am offering a...
insult.
An insult. I think you
a toast,
have...
A toast, a toast.
A toast. I must give you the two, I think, because you said a drinking song. A toast. A Brindisi means toast
God,
in Italian.
God, you have to wait for half a mark on this program.
And Brindisi is mentioned in La Traviata, in Cavalleria Rusticana, and in Donizetti's Lucrezia Borgia. Though, in fact, a Brindisi with a Borgia was not a good idea, as I can think of it. I think you'll get your 2 marks there. Let's look at the score. Leading at the moment, in this stage in the game, by 1.5 marks, Ian and Dennis.
That's my profound knowledge of Beethoven. I think also sling a few more at me.
Goal average, I think.
And we come to songs from the shows. The name of the show, please, and the name of the composer. David.
The minute you walk in the door.
A real big spender. Hey, good. Oh, no, I can't get the words out. It comes from an American musical play.
Help him, Frank. Go on, help him. Be charitable.
Come on.
Thank you, sir.
Come on, sweet.
I don't know.
Sweet.
It.
Say sweet.
Sweet. Oh, sweet charity.
Well done.
Sweet charity, yes.
He was just going to say sweet Genevieve then. Sweet charity. You're absolutely right, David. Your knowledge is equal to Dennis's of Beethoven. Sweet charity. And the other mark for the name of the composer. No,
I pass. Tell you
this one. No, Cy Coleman, the name of the composer. 1 out of 2.
There's
Dennis.
A composer called what?
Cy Coleman.
I'll just make a note of that.
Dennis Norden's turn.
Is it the song that goes big D, little A, two L's and...
That's the one,
yes. That comes from Most Happy Fella.
Yes, one mark by...
Frank Lesser.
For the other mark, thank you. And some music. And one for Ian Wallace.
Gypsy.
Yes, and the composer.
Julie Stein.
Or as Dennis would have it, Jule Stein. Yes, he told us that the other week.
Julie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right, Gypsy by Stein. There's your 2 marks. I must just break off and tell you the most dynamic experience I had at the musical theatre was I went to see that show on Broadway, Gypsy. I sat in what turned out to be the corner seat in the back row of the whole theatre. And Ethel Merman came through to me like a bomb. What a performer, that woman.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
And the
marvelous.
Most beautifully set song in a musical.
What?
Her yeah. last song.
Yes.
That is in any musical, a showstopper.
You saw it on Broadway, too?
No. I saw the film. Who gets to Broadway? Ritual with Broadway is about...
well, there you are.
Clapham anyway. Broadway. Mm.
Having digressed, I now regress, or whatever the thing is. Whatever the word is, you've got 2 marks. Frank Neal, here's a show for you, and a composer, please.
For the pipes that supply the bathroom burst, and the lavatory makes you fear the worst. It was used by Charles I, quite informally, and later by George IV, on the journey north.
Oh, it's Nell Coward operetta, isn't it?
Operette. You're right. And that ends my music for this week. I'm very sorry to have to say. It's a victory by 2.5 marks for Ian Wallace and Dennis North. Goodbye.
Taking part in my music were David Franklin, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. At the keyboards were Graham Daly and Bernard Chin, and the chairman was Steve Race. Questions were compiled by Edward J. Mason, and the program was produced in London by Tony Schreier.